turn to St. Mark, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with him anymore, but only Jesus. And they were coming down the mountain. He ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine, if you went up to the mountains on a day like today, where it's cloudy and overcast, you know, and you went up there to do some sightseeing, whatever, with a group of your friends, and while you were up there enjoying just the peace and quiet, you decided to wander off and just find a quiet place to pray. You know, if you take a look at any travel guide in the Carolinas, you can see literally hundreds of places like that. And so you're out there in this place. You're looking out over a valley or something, sitting on a rock. And all of a sudden, Jesus appears to you. Not only that, Jesus appears to you, and all of a sudden, all these gray clouds and the rain, they're gone. And he's outshining the sun. And it's the brightest light you've ever seen. You have to shade your eyes. You can't look at it because it's so brilliant. And not only that, but as you're looking, but as you're there and Jesus is there and he's shining so brightly, you notice Elijah, Moses, and they're talking to Jesus. And they're looking at you. And they're pointing at you. And then they're talking some more. What would you do? What would you do if you encountered God in such a way? You know, on top of that, as you gathered your wits about you, and you finally were able to get over some of your fear, all of a sudden a loud voice speaks to you. "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." You're there by yourself. There's no one there. There's no one with a microphone doing that. And imagine all the emotions, all the fear, all the excitement, all of that stuff. And then in an instant, it's gone. And you're there on your rock all by yourself. Do you tell anybody? Do you tell anybody what you saw? When you rejoin your group, the one that's down the path and they're looking at a waterfall and they ask, "Where have you been?" Do you tell them what you saw? Well, now you can stand in the place of Peter, James, and John, because that's exactly the encounter that they had on top of that mountain when Jesus was transfigured before them. They witnessed Jesus revealed in the fullness of the glory of God. They witnessed Jesus being transfigured. They are talking with Moses, the lawgiver, and Elijah, the chief of all the prophets. We're there talking, and they were pointing, talking about salvation for the world, salvation for God's people. Jesus tells them, don't share it with anybody. They're on their way down the mountain. Jesus says, now don't you tell anybody what you've seen. Think you could keep that secret? The disciples did a pretty good job. They didn't tell anybody until the Son of Man was raised from dead. They had it etched in their minds. Their lives were changed forever. They could never, ever again look at Jesus the way they did before they climbed that mountain. When they came down from that mountain, they had a new vision of who the Messiah is. They had a new vision of what Christ's mission on earth would be. They had an experience like no other. What does it mean for them to have this vision? What would it mean for you and me to go up to the mountains and to see something like that and then return to the group that we went to the mountains with? What would it mean for us not to tell anybody? I think we'd be busting. We'd have to tell somebody. You know, after all, if you went to such a place and you witnessed Jesus being transfigured like that, and you witnessed Elijah and Moses and you heard that voice, and then you came back to your group, they could tell something's up. They would know because you wouldn't be the same. We know that the disciples didn't tell anybody, not until after Jesus was raised. This story is recorded in 3 of the 4 Gospels. Peter, in his second epistle, writes, "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when we received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased,' we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven. For we were with him on the holy mountain." Each year, as we prepare to celebrate for the Lenten observance, the Lenten journey, we like to call it, each year as we prepare for Lent, we hear this narrative of the transfiguration of Jesus. We hear of how Jesus met with Moses and Elijah and stood out as the fulfillment of the law and the prophecy. And we hear this voice, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." We do well to follow this command. We would do well to make sure that we listen to the Son of God, God's chosen, God's beloved. After all, he is our shepherd. He is our guide. And just like he did with the apostles, Jesus is the one who invites us into God's presence. We may not be up on top of the mountain and witness such a theophany as Jesus being transfigured, but Jesus is still the one who brings us into God's presence. He's the one who brings us into the peace of God in the midst of so much chaos in the world, in the midst of so much despair, in the midst of so much anguish, in the midst of so many things going wrong in our lives. Jesus is the one who invites us into God's presence, invites us to realize the forgiveness of our sins, invites us to enjoy the grace of our Heavenly Father in the midst of this sinful life. When we think of Jesus, like I asked the children to think about listening to Jesus during the week, when we think of Jesus, do we think of him in these real terms? When we pray to Jesus, do we lift up real concerns? Or do we only get on our knees to pray when there is an urgent need and we don't know where to turn? Our last resort is God. Jesus invites us into God's presence. He invites us into fellowship with our Father in heaven. When we remember him, do we hear the voice saying, "This is my Son, listen"? When we remember Jesus, do we follow his example? Do we do the things that Jesus did, that he taught the disciples how to do? How often do we even do the most basic thing? How often do we even go off early in the morning or early in the evening while it's dark to a desolate place and pray to the Father, to thank him for the blessings of this world, to thank him for his mercy and grace, to thank him for making us his children? How often do we do these things? Jesus did this every day, every morning, every evening. Do we recognize God's power in our lives? Do we recognize that He is majestic, the majestic ruler of the world, that all things are in His hands? Or do we simply come to God every now and then with our concerns and lift them up into prayer? God reveals His glory through His Son, Jesus Christ. God reveals His glory and His love for the world through the life, death, and resurrection of His only begotten Son. As we consider the power and the glory and the majesty of God, as we consider all these things, all these attributes of Christ Jesus, do we tremble? Are we fearful? Do we shake inside? Are our hearts moved? All too often, God's people go through their daily routine, giving very few thoughts about the power of God in their life. Giving very few thoughts to the fact that Christ has died and Christ has risen and Christ will come again. God's power and His might surround us with every breath we take. Nothing escapes His watchful eye. But are we aware of this? When we confess our sins on Sunday morning, we acknowledge that before God, there are no secrets hidden. No secrets hidden. There's things that we won't tell others about ourselves, but God knows them. Does this change the way we walk with Christ from day to day? Living day to day, I would say that few people take time 3 or 4 times a day to actually go to a quiet place and just spend 5 minutes of peace and quiet with their Lord. I would say that that's a hard thing to be to get accustomed to doing. We don't need to have the mountaintop experience. You don't have to go to the mountains for that. You can have a mountaintop experience there in your living room. As you open up the Scriptures and you listen to God's voice speak to you. I know we all pray. We have a prayer team here at the church. I know we all pray. I know we all take time to speak with God. I know that we do this and we enjoy doing it, but the other part of prayer is, do we take time to listen? When we say amen, do we get up and we walk off to the next thing? Or do we decide, okay, now it's time to turn on music or the television set, we've said our prayer, it's time to eat? Do we do that? Or do we take time to listen? Time to notice God's answer to our prayer? Our minds are certainly cluttered with thought. Our minds are certainly preoccupied with all the busyness of the day. For our young people, you know, who are in the midst of going to school, this time of year, it's February. It's only a few more short months to the end of school, but with that comes exams and all these darn things and all this stuff. And then they can't wait to be sprung from school. Do they take time in all of that to recognize the blessing that God is in their life? For those of us who have a 9-to-5 job and we get up in the morning, you know that commercial from Dunkin' Donuts, the guy gets up early in the morning, still dark, time to make the donuts. How many times do we get up in the morning with a daily routine and just go about all that and not pause to give thanks to God for keeping us safe, for opening our eyes to another dawn, to showing us the way through our Lord Jesus Christ? The account of the transfiguration of Jesus is yet one more instance where God invites us into His presence. He invites us into His presence, and he invites us to contemplate His power, His sovereignty. He invites us to consider His law, His prophecy, and how all these things are fulfilled in the person of His only Son, Jesus Christ. As you hear God's voice declaring, "This is My Son, the Beloved," listen to Him. Realize this is your invitation to draw near. God commands us to listen to His Son. He invites us to go to the mountains, to be alone with Christ. He invites us to go and relieve ourselves of all of our worry, all of our doubt, all of our misery, our preoccupation. All of those distractions, He invites us to just let go of those and take hold of faith, hope, and love that is made available in the promises of Christ. People of God, take the opportunity for these moments around you. Become still. Psalm 46 invites us to be still. Know that I am God. Become still. Recognize the peace and the power of Christ in your life. And when you pray, take time to listen to God's response. Listen to the point where you can hear the wind. Listen to the point where you can notice birds singing. Listen so intently that you notice the sound of each breath you take. Listen intently, and God will speak to you the truth and the power of His Word. And you'll hear Him call you too, my beloved, with you, because of my Son Jesus Christ. I am well pleased. Amen.